This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
You know it's autumn in Canada by the smell of the leaves in the air. This is Kelly and Company on AMI Audio.
Welcome back to our Climate Action Week. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the program. Of course, obviously, main topic through the week. You'll find that thread with us throughout the whole week on Kelly and Company. And we're taking away a lot from the conversations that we are having, that's for sure. And hopefully you will as well. Remember, the show airs live 2 p.m. Eastern. The repeat of the show at 5 p.m. Eastern. We used to be so spoiled with so many repeats, but that's why we say, hey, go check out the podcast, right? Don't want to waste airtime when we don't need to, when we've got that podcast sitting there. Be fair to some of the other stuff that we're not podcasting here on the network, right? That's the way I look at it. And there's only so much, you know, people want to hear of us talking food or laughing.
Right.
I don't know. I can't understand some people. I don't know why they wouldn't want to hear more of that. Let's talk about how climate change has affected health and cost of health in Canada. Now, we're going to dive into this issue. We've got Ryan Ness with us, adaptation researcher at Canadian Institute for Climate Choices. Ryan, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on Kelly and Company. Can we start off by getting a little background on the Canadian Institute for Climate Choices, please, and talk a little bit about the mission?
Sure. We are an independent think tank looking at Canada's climate policy options in terms of how we pursue our commitments to fighting climate change, whether it is by reducing greenhouse gas emissions or by preparing for the effects of a harsher and more volatile climate in the next decades. So we analyze some of the big decisions that governments are going to have to make or are not making, and make recommendations for what the best ways are to pursue those goals.
Okay. So in your report, The Health Costs of Climate Change, How Canada Can Adapt, Prepare, and Save Lives, can you talk about some of the impacts of climate change being addressed on individuals' health?
Sure. Well, the overall message of our report about the health impacts of climate change is that health of people across Canada is going to be impacted by climate change in a way, though, that's going to actually increase health inequity and which is going to increase overall costs, not only to our health system, but to our economy as a whole. And we highlight that smart investments in reducing the root causes of vulnerability are going to reduce those costs and potentially save lives.
Okay. Very interesting, because I know we have to break things down for people to kind of get that idea on the impact of not only the individual, but our society, our economy. So what about, speaking of that, public health costs, how much will it be affected, according to your estimations?
So let's take air pollution, for example. Right. As warming summers keep happening across Canada, air pollution in our cities and urban areas is going to get worse, because some of the components of smog are driven by temperature. More of them are formed on hotter days. For example, by the middle of the century in Canada, air quality healthcare costs, additional emergency room visits, visits to family doctors, could cost about $500 million a year alone. By the end of the century, if climate change continues to get worse, we're not getting global emissions under control, that could easily exceed $1 billion annually. And to put that into context, cancer healthcare costs are somewhere around $4 and $5 billion annually in the country. So we're seeing that climate change driven healthcare costs from air quality health impacts, which are the biggest one, that biggest impact that we analyzed, could approach a quarter of the costs of cancer. Wow. For our healthcare system.
And just to point out, like you just said, the examination, that dollar, that amount, that prediction is for air quality outside of other areas such as food safety, other things, drinking water and everything else.
Yeah, there's a number of other different ways. Wow. That climate change will impact the health of people in the country. Heat and heat waves is obviously one of them, and we've seen the devastating effects of that this summer.
Right.
An increased number of unfamiliar diseases for Canada, like Lyme disease, which our results show is going to continue to spread as the climate warms. Food security, water security as well will become increasingly challenging. So there's a whole range of impacts.
How about how Canada stacks up on this, like when we're talking public and personal, compared to other countries? You know, should we be looking at some other countries as the role models to kind of get our stuff in line?
There are definitely some great examples out there of countries that are addressing the root causes of what makes people vulnerable to these types of impacts. As I was saying earlier, there's an equity or an inequity to dimension to how these impacts are going to affect people across Canada. People who have pre-existing health conditions, people who don't have the same income, stability, and resources to access the healthcare system or to take care of themselves and achieve good baseline health, are going to be the ones who are most impacted during a heat wave or during a prolonged smog event in a city. So the countries that are doing well on addressing health inequities are actually the ones who are best prepared for some of these climate change health impacts.
Mm, wow. And unfortunately, some places are not quite in that position. And we do need to look at the support that we give as helping ourselves, helping everyone. When you talk about that, what recommendations would you have as a starting point to counteract the issues? And I know it's some would say, oh, it's too late now to start, but never too late.
And sorry, could you repeat the question? Are we talking about sort of addressing this root cause issue?
Exactly. The whole issues, and when it comes to the starting point, you would think that we really should. Where should we start to start, particularly with, since we are talking mainly the smog, the air, and where do we start to counteract some of it, if that's possible?
Again, the best investment is improving everybody's baseline level of health. And the accessibility of the healthcare system to all. We can't predict exactly how climate change is going to play out in Canada and
the
way that it's going to affect the health of people in this country. But in just about every situation, giving everybody the best chance to achieve the best health they can will make them the most resilient they can be to a climate change health impact, whether it's a heat wave, whether it's a new disease, or whether it's worsening air quality.
And, you know, we highlighted a lot of the, as you started off by saying, the bigger picture impacts. I think that it's also important to talk about some of the individual standpoints. You know, a couple segments leading up to this one, we talked about what we could do in our daily lives, or what we could consider at least in our daily lives to kind of adapt and reduce the spread of climate change. So any thoughts there?
I mean, we all need to get behind, whether it's our own individual actions or whether it's the big decisions of our governments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Our analysis shows that if the world does get greenhouse gas emissions under control, the costs, both financially and in human terms, will be dramatically cut, half or less of what they'll be if we don't get those emissions under control and we have runaway climate change. The other thing that people can do is to support decisions that are made about making sure everybody has access to the services that make Canada such a fantastic country, that the health and social services that give them the best chance to achieve health stability and financial stability will benefit us all by making sure that we don't overload the healthcare system as climate change continues to cause stresses on our health.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is such a thing to think about what we're doing now, what we silently don't know when it comes to people's health. It's easy to say, oh, well, that person has asthma, they have their medication. And we don't really think, well, the reason so many people have these aggravations are what we're doing and what we need to do. Ryan, thank you very much. Anywhere we can go to get more information?
Yes, you can check our website at climatechoices.ca. Our report about climate change health impacts is up there, as well as our entire suite of papers about some of the big choices governments are going to have to make to both prepare for climate change and reduce its impacts on our country.
Yeah, so important to look through those, to read them, to help us know and really see where we're for really at, instead of us kind of, oh, okay, well, the governments will do something. And Ryan, I know there's only so much you can do to say, hey, guys, look at this, and hope that some action's taken.
Thanks for your interest. It's conversations like these that are so important, getting people aware of the amount of work that's still left to be done.
Yeah, well, and you can see how it makes us stop. And oh, wow. Ooh, thank you very much. We'll talk soon. We'll talk to you again. That was Ryan Ness, Adaptation Research Director, Canadian Institute for Climate Choices, talking to us about how climate change is affecting health and cost of health in Canada. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen, as the conversations continue. What are some common myths surrounding climate change? How can we prove the doubters wrong? We chat with Kari Munven, a senior policy analyst responsible for climate justice work at Citizens for Public Justice, in 2 minutes.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.